This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Bargains and exploitation on Knickerbocker Avenue in Brooklyn. Well, like many shopping strips in immigrant neighborhoods, the mile-long retail strip along Knickerbocker Avenue in Bushwick is overflowing with bargain outlets and minimum wage and hour violations as well. Make the Road by Walking and the RWDSU have joined together to confront store owners. Make the Road recently announced a boycott against Superstar 99 located at 353 Knickerbocker Avenue, and Attorney General Elliot Spitzer's office is filing a massive back wage claim for the workers. RWDSU is mounting a unionization campaign along the avenue because unionization would mean long-term improvements in wages and benefits. And now we have with us in the studio Deborah Axt, legal director of Make the Road by Walking, Julia Ortez, fired by Save Smart for filing a back wage campaign claim, and Jeff Eichler, organizer of the Retail Wholesale Department of the Store Workers Union. And it's nice to have all of you with us in the studio. Well, why don't we begin? I know the area well because I shop there and do a lot of organizing there with tenants who live in Bushwick as well. It's a major shopping fair, but it could have been the South Bronx. It could have been any one of a number of areas. So why don't we begin by describing who works on Knickerbocker Avenue and what the issues are with the wage and hour violations? Who wants to begin?
Well, I can do that. Make the Road by Walking and the RWDSU, the Retail Wholesale and Department Store Union, recently issued a report in May called The Street of Shame, which delineated and outlined and described the conditions along Knickerbocker Avenue. There are about 175 or more stores along this mile-long strip. It's in Bushwick, largely, as Mimi said, an immigrant community. A lot of recent immigrants from Mexico, Ecuador. There are also people who've lived, who are from Puerto Rico and lived in the neighborhood for a very long period of time. The people working in the stores are, again, Mexicans and Puerto Ricans, and some African folks have arrived also in the stores. And as our report describes, a good number of the stores are violators, stores who pay their workers well below the minimum wage. There are people working sometimes 7 days a week, 84 or 77 hours a week, and pay $265, $270 a week. Other people work 6 days, 11 hours or 12 hours a day, 66 hours, 72 hours a week, also earning $250, $280, $300. No one receives overtime. There are no time off benefits. There are no health benefits. And the conditions are pretty terrible. In Superstar 99, there are health and safety problems as well. One of the workers recently fell down the stairs, or the stairs broke, as they have about three or four times in the past when he was going down into the basement. So the conditions are pretty horrendous. Besides the violators, there are also other stores on the street who they might not be violating the minimum wage law, but they pay just the minimum wage. They pay $6 an hour. They don't provide any time off benefits or health benefits. So it's a street of, as we call it, the street of shame.
But these are small stores, and what's a poor shop owner to do?
Well, actually, most of the stores are not single stores. The owners often own many stores. The Superstar 99, we know of four stores that are connected with this owner, and he might have others. And they're very hard to trace. Others, there's an Associated where grocery store where the delivery guys don't receive any money. They just receive pay for, you know, tips in the delivery. And we know that owner owns several other grocery stores. There are other stores that are fairly large chains. Vim is on that block. Vim is located in almost every similar type of street in New York City. They have over 30 stores. It's all minimum wage, no health benefits, no time off. Jimmy J's Hyperactive is another one. So there are very, very few of the shops along Knickerbocker Avenue stand alone, and I'm sure that there's resources there to pay their folks a little more money.
Deborah, the campaign is a joint campaign to some extent between Make the Road by Walking and the RWDSU. Tell us about the campaign. How did it get started? What's been done so far?
Do you mean they're building a community labor strategy?
They're building bridges.
Indeed.
Awake Bushwick.
Well, Make the Road by Walking has long combined organizing and litigation strategies in our approach to enforcing workplace rights. And we did some experimentation in the retail industry. We had primarily been working in the garment industry, restaurant industry, sort of other local industries in the neighborhood. And a lot of wage and hour enforcement was really what we were focusing on. But we were finding that we would have members of ours coming back over and over again with the same problem. They would fight it out with one employer and win tens and thousands of dollars sometimes in back wages that had been denied to them wrongfully for years. And they would oftentimes quit that employer, and then they would move on, and they would come back a year later with the same problem, new employer, right? And so it was very difficult, as you might imagine, to affect any sort of lasting change in the structure and the conditions of the workplace. So we started to experiment in the retail industry locally there in Bushwick, and we did a campaign with one of the retailers on Knickerbocker called Minimax, and we combined litigation and boycott and organizing strategies, and we made some demands that went beyond the repayment of back wages, and we found that we could actually negotiate a settlement that involved the provision of paid sick days, for example, days off, protections that you wouldn't lose your job if you had to skip work one day because your child was sick. And so that was sort of our first experimental step in moving towards this kind of strategy. But obviously, this wasn't something that a community organization could pull off alone. We really feel that to affect lasting change and to make some real shifts in the wages and the working conditions along Knickerbocker, we needed to partner with another organization. We needed to help these workers to unionize, to be able to demand what they need on the job. And our WDSU came forward sort of at that point and really showed some interest in developing a joint strategy. And that's where we went. The initial steps of the campaign were to go door knocking. Basically, every person who lives within a two-block radius of the Knickerbocker Avenue has had organizers knock on their door. And over 3,000 consumers in the neighborhood have signed a pledge to commit their resources to supporting the campaign, saying, I will not shop at stores that do not comply with the demands of this campaign. So that was the first step. And then when the union came in, we were able to have the resources to really start talking to workers and sort of building that. But we wanted to have some support in the neighborhood ready so that when workers decided whether to take the risk and step up, that support was already in place.
Now we have with us, as I've mentioned earlier, Julia Ortiz, who was courageous enough to file a back wage claim and was fired by Save Smart for doing so. And again, welcome to Julia. And why don't you give us some idea of your experiences at Save Smart and what caused you to file the claim?
¿Usted puede darnos una idea de sus experiencias en Save Smart y qué le causó a usted quejarse al Departamento de Trabajo?
Bueno, mi experiencia fue bien difícil allá.
My experience was very difficult there.
Porque cuando empecé a trabajar, trabajaba 11 horas.
When I started to work, we worked 11 hours a day.
Lo que me pagaban eran $35 al día.
And what they paid me was $35 a day.
Cuando llegaba el momento de cobrar,
when the payday would arrive,
me daban el dinero y cuando llegaba a mi casa, no sabía qué hacer con esa plata.
I would get the money and then I would arrive at home that night and think, what am I going to do with this money?
Tenía que pagar para el cuidado de mis hijos.
I had to pay for child care.
Pagar para mi MetroCard.
To pay for my MetroCard.
En verdad no sabía cómo estaba sobreviviendo.
In reality, I didn't know how I was living, how I was surviving.
Bastante veces que lloraba.
There were many, many times that I would cry.
También por el maltrato que recibíamos, especialmente del dueño de la tienda, de Hasis.
Also, because of the mistreatment that I received at the hands of the owner of the store.
Siempre que le pedíamos aumento, la poca veces que se le pedía aumento.
The few times that we asked for a raise.
Porque nosotros le teníamos miedo, temor.
Because we were afraid of him. We were very afraid.
Él siempre nos decía que teníamos que esperar para él poder darnos un aumento, porque no era el momento para darnos un aumento.
He always told us we had to wait for the right moment, that it wasn't the moment yet for us to get a raise.
Así pasó todo el tiempo y ese aumento nunca llegó.
And that's the way it always happened. I passed a lot of time that way, and the moment for the raise never arrived.
Pero lo que más me incomodó,
but what made me most uncomfortable,
y me hizo ir al departamento de labor,
and made me go to the Department of Labor,
fue un día que mi niña me llamó.
It was a day that my daughter called me.
Tres veces la niña llamó para hablar conmigo.
Three times she called to speak to me.
Y el señor le decía que no me esté, que no estuviera llamándome.
And the owner told me that she wasn't calling me, and to have her not call me.
Porque yo estaba trabajando, no jugando.
Because I was working, not playing.
Y la tercera vez que la niña volvió y llamó.
And the third time that she called me again.
El manager le dijo que por favor que me pasara la llamada.
The manager said, she said to the manager, please pass the phone to me.
Y él me gritó delante de todos los customers.
And he yelled at me in front of all the customers.
Me dijo, toma la llamada, pero dile a tu niña.
He said, take the call, but tell your daughter.
Que por favor, que no te siga llamando a la tienda.
But tell her she can't keep calling you at the store.
Después yo tomé por comprarme un celular.
After that, I made the effort and bought a cellular phone.
Para comunicarme con mis hijos por cualquier emergencia.
So that I could communicate with my kids in case of another emergency.
Y por cierto, un día él llegó.
And certainly one day he arrived, an emergency arrived.
Sí, y el celular sonó y yo lo tomé para recibir la llamada de mi niña.
And the cell phone rang and I answered it because my daughter was calling.
Y él me dijo que no me atreviera a contestarlo, que yo no estaba en mi casa.
And he told me, don't you dare answer that, you're not in your house.
Y fueron bastantes cosas que pienso que me tomaría 5 años para poder decir todo lo maltrato y las humillaciones que tuvimos ahí en ese trabajo.
And there were so many things that it would take me 5 years to explain all of the mistreatments that we suffered in that job.
Siempre hablaba con mis compañeras las pocas veces que pude.
I always would speak to my coworkers the few times that we were able to find time.
Y le dije que teníamos que hacer algo porque esto no podía continuar así.
I said, we have to do something because this can't continue like this.
Well, goodness, the courage, the dignity, the face of a worker. Julia, you were fired. What does not having that income now, such as it was, mean for your family at this time?
Julia, usted fue despedido. ¿Qué significa para su familia no tener ese ingreso ahora?
Por un lado, me ha sido un poco difícil, pero por el otro lado, pienso que fue un descanso.
On one hand, it has been very hard. On the other hand, I think it has been a break.
No tenía tiempo para estar con mis hijos.
Before, I'd never had time to spend with my children.
Sentía que lo estaba perdiendo.
I felt like I was missing it. I was missing the time with them.
Well, I must say that it's always workers like Julia that are the backbone of building movements. And as much as it is a sacrifice for the individual, I can't tell you what it means for all these many workers now. I dare say within that neighborhood, because most of the workers live in proximity to where they work, to be filing a claim for $192,000 in back wages. And I dare say before we're finished that Julia is going to have a far better job. Well, tell us about the $192,000 back wage claim.
Well, the back wage claim that you're speaking of is a claim that the Attorney General's office is actually handling that has been filed in, is in the process of being filed against the Superstar 99 Cent, which is a 99 cent store on Knickerbocker Avenue where a number of workers have been working many, many years for 6 and 7 days a week, 11 hours a day, and they're making somewhere between $250 and $300 a week. So wages are coming out to much, much below minimum wage. They're not given any sort of time off, and the total that we've come up with, our current estimate, is that it's about $192,000 that they've been robbed of over the past 5 or 6 years.
And you've recently announced a boycott against Super Save 99. Why is it called Super Save 99?
Superstar 99.
Why is it called that?
It's a good question. That seems to be the name of the corporate ownership entity.
And what about the boycott?
The boycott was kicked off this Saturday. And members of Make the Road by Walking and other community supporters will be out there virtually daily to try to educate the public about the boycott and this being the first real target of the Despierta Bushwick campaign.
And the aim is, of course, to send a message to all the store owners along the street about this campaign. And I think the store owners have realized what's going on.
And, Jeff, have you been working with Julia? She seems like she has an awful lot of energy and spirit to commit to the organizing process.
Well, our organizer, Manuel Guerrero, has actually been working very well with
her. Yes. I run into him everywhere, an organizer par excellence. Well, you know, it's interesting. I dare say that there are some who, listening to this program, might think that we were talking about workers in the maquilas in Mexico. This is Brooklyn, and you have people who work for $3.44 an hour for 77 hours a week with no benefits, and then they are treated aggressively and brutally and deprived of any sense of dignity and respect. So we're thrilled that you're going to get them to unionize these stores and to file these claims. What's next on the agenda that our listeners can get immersed into support sisters like Julia Ortiz and organizations like Make the Road by Walking and the RWDSU?
Well, we urgently need supporters to be standing out in front of these stores with us on the boycott. It's a really difficult organizational task to be staffing a boycott all day, every day, as you might imagine. And most of our worker activists are employed during the day, and so it's really hard for our most active leaders to be out there.
Is that the whole strip or just particular stores, the boycott?
The boycott at this moment is just at Superstar 99. We are targeting that employer. The goal is to target some of the worst violators and put pressure on them as examples to the rest of the street that this neighborhood will no longer allow the kind of treatment that's been going on this strip so far. And if people are able to get involved, we would be thrilled to plug you into the boycott and to the demonstrations that will be upcoming. You can call Make the Road by Walking. Nieves Padilla is our worker organizer who is coordinating these efforts. And our phone number is 718-418-7690, 718-418-7690. And we also have a website, which is www.maketheroad.org, www.maketheroad.org.
Jeff, Knickerbocker Avenue, how typical is this of other shopping centers, strips in the city? Is this a glaring exception to a rule, or is this
no rule? This is very typical. The same stores appear on other strips throughout the city. You go to 181st Street in Manhattan, Fordham Road, Steinway Street, you'll see the same stores, the same conditions exist. It's throughout the city. And if people want to get an idea of what goes on in Knickerbocker and what goes on in these other strips, they can look at the report Street of Shame, which is on the RWDSU website, which is rwdsu.org.
And tell us a little bit about the Despierta Bushwick campaign. Some store owners got together. Have they seen the light?
No store owners have seen the light from what we can tell. We have had conversations with some store owners about what it would take to prove to us that they are really the good guys in this scenario. And we're going to see where those conversations lead.
And we're going to give the last word to Julia. Julia, what would you like our listeners to know about what needs to be done about stores like Superstar 99?
So, Julia, ¿qué es que le gustaría comunicar a la audiencia sobre qué necesita pasar para cambiar las condiciones allí en ese tipo de tienda?
Que tengan un poco más de conciencia.
That people should have a little bit more consciousness.
Que entiendan que si uno está trabajando es porque necesita para mantener a sus familias.
That they understand that if someone is working, it's because they need to. They have necessity to take care of their families.
Que los hijos de nosotros también necesitan sentirse que son niños y disfrutar también de lo que uno está trabajando.
That our children also need to feel that they are children and be able to get advantages to gain from what we are doing on the job.
Well, you're a strong woman. You're going to be back at work with better conditions, and the whole neighborhood is going to be improved by virtue of that additional earning power and just the dignity that people like you bring to the process of organizing. Well, again, give that number so people can call in and join that line and hold those signs up and say, we're not shopping where workers aren't treated fairly.
718-418-7690. And you want to speak with Nieves Padilla.
And the website one more time?
www.maketheroad.org.
Well, Obreras Unidas jamás serán vencido. And we will win. Much thanks to Zita Allen for helping organize this segment, and Deborah Axe, legal director of Make the Road by Walking, and Jeff Eichler, organizer with the Retail Wholesale Department Store Workers Union, and especially Julia Ortiz, who was fired by Save Smart for filing a back wage claim. And it's been a pleasure to have you here, and we will keep our listeners posted. As a matter of fact, I dare say you're going to see many of them down there in Bushwick on Knickerbocker Avenue, and you're saying we're not shopping where there aren't decent wages and working conditions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Down in the trenches, where nothing shines, out on the main streets and on the front line, in darkest times, I will be there for you, I'll be there for you. When institutions turn tail and bail, when destitution and apathy prevail, when all else fails, I will be there for you. I'll be there for you. When all is lost and lost gathers on the stone, you're all alone or you face the unknown, stuck in the mud or down on your luck, I will dare to be there and give you back. I will dare to be there and pick
Well, that's Mike Stout telling us he'll be there for you. And we will.
And this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. And you can reach us at knash@igc.org. That's knash@igc.org. And for more labor news and views, go to www.buildingbridgesradio.org. That's www.buildingbridgesradio.org for archived Building Bridges national labor shows. Thank you.